77 years ago, the year was 1949, outside of the coast of Scotland on the Hebrides Islands, God sent a man by the name of Duncan Campbell. Now, prior to his arriving, God had already been up to something. There were a set of elderly sisters who were both bedridden, but they had a call to intercede on their life, and they had been crying out for revival in the Hebrides Islands. Also, there was a farmer by the name of Hector McKinnon. He would often go into his barn and pray. And on occasion prior to Duncan Campbell coming, he had been pouring his heart out to God, he and some brothers that were with him. And heaven came down in that barn, and they became aware God is sending someone, something's about to happen. Duncan Campbell was scheduled to preach in a large meeting on a different island, but God spoke to him before he took the pulpit, "You need to go right now." He gave them the address of the island, and he took off. He went, quickly gathered people together, and they had a meeting. Nothing much happened that night. But in the middle of that night, no follow-up meeting had been announced. But during the night, lights began to come on across the island. People began to wake up. They began to fall on the floor and in repentance, crying out to God. And they had a knowing in their heart, "I've got to go to the church." And then streaming through the heather and across the trails to the little church in that area, people started to show up in the middle of the night and started calling out for God. And that was like the first domino. And they began to fall across the islands of the Hebrides Islands. Things would happen like people would be walking down the road and the glory of God would just fall upon them and they would hit their knees with wet tears of repentance streaming down their cheeks. Men would be out harvesting the peat and the glory of God would fall upon them. They would begin to repent and cry out and make their way to the church. I read one story where all of a sudden 300 people from different directions, the glory of God had come upon them. They became repentant, and the chief of police in that town was known as a very on fire, spirit-filled believer. 300 people made their way to the police house to give their hearts to Christ. Over and over, sailors on the ships, the fishermen, the glory of God would come upon them. It was a sovereign wind of glory that swept across those islands. 77 years ago, it lasted 3 years. And I'm telling you that God has a similar plan, I believe, for this region, for this house, and for this state. In 1996, a woman, a well-known leader of the end-time handmaidens intercessory ministry, Ruth Ward Heflin. She had a word from the Lord given her about the state of Alabama. I won't read it to you. It's a long word, but she basically prophesied the winds of glory would begin to blow across the state of Alabama. And toward the end of her prophecy, she said, "God is coming with a banjo on his knee, and he's going to release a sound, and it's going to be heard around the globe out of Alabama." I stand before you this morning saying there are numbers of prophetic words about the state in which we live. But there's also many prophetic words about the region in which we live. And there's some very heavy-weighted, glorious words that have been given to this particular house concerning a well of worship. Most of us are aware of what God has, or what has transpired in the natural realm. I'm not saying that was God. But in the 60s and 70s, this place became known, this region, as the hit recording capital of the world. Alabama's birthed a lot of musicians and well-known artists. Over 1,200 are in the Alabama Music Hall of Fame. 80% of those are from North Alabama, and about 75% of those are from this area. The people on this land that squiggle their toes down in the mud of this region, there is such creativity. There is such artistry. God has put something in the DNA of the people of this region. First, the natural, the world has heard the sound, but the prophetic word's saying the world's going to hear a sound released out of here that will bring honor and glory to God. I'm beginning a new series today called Let's Do This. I'll be preaching a few Sundays. It's really a word the Lord's given me for our house to call us into what God is calling us in to. Because the plans He has for us, they are good, and there will be a requirement on our part. And so today I want to talk about hosting His presence. We can get a lot of things right, but if we miss this, we miss what's most important. When we have our new member luncheons, and Mickey and I take a few minutes to share with them, I'll share some of the values that we treasure. And the first thing I always talk about is we want people to encounter God's presence. You were made to live in the presence of God and to live for Him and for Him to move through you. You see, what we do together when we get together should help us all grow together. Grow together in Christ, but also grow together in fulfilling what God's called this house to do. So I'm going to share two New Testament scriptures with you this morning. One is out of John 4, the other is out of Ephesians 5, and then I'm going to share with you some things I believe that we need to focus on, and I believe we're focusing on these. But I believe the Lord's calling us to press in. Even the word He gave me in this morning's service, it was about pressing in. So we need to go deeper. We need to put more into it. And God's wanting to do something in this house, and we need each and every one of you. The first scripture, we're going to step into the story of Jesus talking to the woman at the well. I'm not going to read all of that, nor even set the context for the whole story. But there's a point in His conversation with this woman who was from Samaria where she's asking Him, well, where's the best place to worship? You know, our fathers worship in this mountain. And the Jews say, you know, they're in Jerusalem. And Jesus responded with this scripture. He says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship Father in spirit and truth. In spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Now notice this. God is spirit. God is spirit. And if we're going to worship Him, it's got to be from our spirit, through Holy Spirit. Jesus said, and those who worship Him must, if you're going to worship Him in the way He desires to be worshiped, if you're going to be one of those He's looking for to worship Him, He says you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not in some form of intellectual ritualism, but from your spirit. Listen, He is the living God. The spirit realm existed long before this material realm in which we live. The spirit inside of you will go on when the body you're in has to be laid to rest here in this earth. So we need to be a people who know how to interact with the realm of the Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit, connect with God who is Spirit, and worship Him in spirit and truth. A lot of people all about being spiritual, all about trying to connect with some higher power through spirituality. That's not what it says. You have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We must be, we have to be, I believe we are a congregation whose word and spirit. We're spirit and truth. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. We believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. We want to flourish in the fruit of the Spirit. And everything we do, it needs to be anchored in the Word of God. That's what Father's looking for. People anchored in the Word and worshiping in spirit. So that scripture sets the context. I need to move on to Ephesians 5 because this is another New Testament text that's really important. Paul says, do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Some people get full of spirits. He's talking about being full of Holy Spirit, right? And he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5, 18, 19, Paul kind of repeats this in the book of Colossians about worshiping through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. God likes that. Psalms, a reference to the psaltery of the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. David, he was a worshiping warrior. Hymns. The early church had hymns. Those hymns would have been songs written that really teach you as you sing because they include teachings about who God is and Christ is. They're very vertical, praising God for who he is. You can start reciting some of those old hymns, and they have a lot of rich theology in them. And then spiritual songs, pneumatica is the word, that is spirit birth, spontaneous songs. And we're told that where this is happening and we're making melody in our hearts, that is we're a joyful congregation. We're in unity. We're doing this together, that there is a feeling of Holy Spirit that can happen in our worship. Now, everything we do should be worship. It should be for him. Today, when I'm talking about worship, I'm drawing the bullseye around what happens when we come together corporately. That's what I'm going to be talking about this morning, because we want God to add to the church. We want to water, plant and water, and we want God to give the increase. But we know this. Father's looking for people that'll worship him in spirit and truth. So if we're doing that, those people will find us, and we'll find them. So it's important that we be a congregation that worships in spirit and truth and that can create a canopy of heaven all over this place. Duncan Campbell in that Hebride Island revival, he said that he would say revival is a community saturated with God. Why are you here today? Why do we come? We don't come to be entertained. We don't come to perform for God. You may come, have different reasons, and enjoy different things while you're here, but we need to come to worship him in spirit and receive from his truth so we can be grounded in truth. So corporate worship and preaching of the word, that's vitally important for our spiritual lives. Now, I want to share some things with you that I believe that we need to focus on very intensely in the season that we're stepping into. And I think we're seeing these things, but I'm talking about a greater measure. Press in, press in, press in. The Lord laid on my heart earlier. And we need to do that. Here's the first thing. Number one, show up with a surrendered heart. When we're gathering here for worship on the Lord's Day, show up with a surrendered heart. Don't wait till you get here to kind of get ready. Get ready all week so that when you're here, you're ready. It's in go. Light is green. High praise and worship from the get-go. We don't have to wade through things to get. We come to release. And that's a good question to ask when you're coming. What am I bringing with me that I can release today? It should be your worship. Maybe there's some burdens you need to lay down and so forth, but what can you release? And then as you leave and go home, what are you going to carry with you? What are you carrying with you that you didn't bring with you? Because we should receive something. We should be edified. We should be built up. And as Paul said in Ephesians 5, maybe replenished, refueled with the Holy Spirit. Because literally that scripture means go on being filled again and again and again with Holy Spirit. So singing and music and instruments are a very big part of that, as we shall see. Now, showing up with a surrendered heart, I'm going to, through these four statements I'm going to share with you, there's going to be a couple of Hebrew words that I'm bringing out of Old Testament, because sometimes people come for the first time, they may not understand, why are those people jumping up and down? Well, I saw somebody spinning around. What's all this hands in the air? And you need to know, these are all expressions of worship, not only that are suggested that we do, but that we are commanded to do. We should want to worship God in the way He desires to be worshiped. We don't instruct Him, like, I'm going to worship this way, I hope you like it. We need to get in alignment with what the Scripture says about how we're to worship. Again, I'm talking about corporate worship. This Hebrew word for barak means kneeling, bowing, dropping our personal demands, in New Testament terms, to honor Jesus as King. In other words, it's about God. It's not about us. We're here to worship Him. We're not here to be seen. We're here to worship Him. We're here for an audience of one. And we come in unity, in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I'm telling you, powerful things can happen in an atmosphere where people show up with their hearts already surrendered with a commitment, I'm going to worship today in spirit and truth. Also, the word yada, which means the hands extended. It can also mean like to cast forth. It's like you're heaping your praise on God. That word, it's raising open hands in total surrender and complete trust. And I would say the word says that Father's seeking people who will do that. And again, don't make it mechanical. Okay, I've lifted my hands one time. I guess I need to jump once. I need to let us. No, it's not that. It's just as the Spirit moves through the congregation, these types of expressions will take place when we come together. And we witnessed that this morning in different ways. And that's beautiful. And what's amazing, God's given us an amazing worship team. They're so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You don't see any of them up here like, hey, it's about me. They're here just to worship. They work. They have such unity. They're a family. They work together. They practice together. Get here way before our people do, and they're here usually afterwards. They are preparing. They meet on Thursday night so that they can lead us in worship. So we want to follow Holy Spirit through our worship leaders that are up here, and it's beautiful because sometimes the music gets real intense like it is today, and there will be shouting and loud, boisterous praise and dancing. You might even take off a running sometime. But that kind of excitement. And then there may be times when we go into something real quiet and intimate, and it's just the awe of God. Not really the time to jump. It's time to be on our face. Time to humble ourselves. But you amaze me as a congregation because you are so sensitive to this. And we want to ever increase in our worshiping in spirit and in truth. So these are just two of the words. Show up with a surrendered heart. Pray through the week. Pray about your stuff, but pray for the service on Sunday. Pray for your pastor that I will bring to you what's needed. And Lord, we just lift up Brother David right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that his consciousness would come back to him right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We are agreeing. His hands are being laid on him. Father, you are Jehovah Rapha, and we speak healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Some of our medical team, if you would help with our brother as they continue to pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay, we got some medical people. If you would, let some of the medical people in right there. Thank you. Thank you. You good? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just pray. We love you, Brother David. Amen. Amen. During the week, I encourage you to be praying about the services on Sunday, praying for your leaders, preparing your heart to receive whatever the Lord has for you, because we want to be challenged, we want to change, and we want to grow. So number one, show up with a surrendered heart. Number two, we want to unleash every instrument and voice. Now, I love this. The word, Hebrew word samar, literally means to pluck the strings. And look at the scripture at the bottom. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. I used to think the lute was something like a flute, but I got straightened out. It's kind of like a guitar. The lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Right there it is in God's word where we're told God likes these stringed instruments. He likes this keyboard. He likes the percussion. He likes those drums. He even likes those loud cymbals. Right there in the Word. So people talk about, no, you shouldn't do that in church. Read your Bible. I had a friend of mine who got married when I was young, and I was actually in his wedding, and it was in a church that didn't believe you were supposed to have any kind of instruments. And so they raised the windows and put a boombox outside and turned the music on for his wedding. And I thought, that's just silly. I mean, Isn't that right there? I could get real country. Look that right there. Praise him. That's the word of Shabbat, a triumphant shout, a bold, unified declaration of victory that joins the instruments. And then he talks about with the string instruments and all this. In other words, fire up the band and worship God. Yes. And I thank God for our skilled musicians. You know, we are so blessed because they can follow the Spirit. If something spontaneous comes and there's a new sound, they can all just go with it. I can come up here and say, I think we should sing this. They'll just start singing it. You can't just do that. And we are so blessed. And they are so skilled. I believe David, he was a worshiping warrior. He had a heart, but if he was alive today, he'd probably slap him a strat on and he would be bending him some strings, praising the Lord. Amen? By the way, I play guitar. Have you ever seen our worship pastor invite me to come up here and play the guitar? I'm just saying. Problem is, he's actually heard me before. Dad, you just preach. Love you, son. Love our worship team. But we want to unleash every instrument and voice. Why? Because that's what God's Word says. If you're inviting someone that's never been in a church like this, just share that with them. Now, you know, we believe what the Scripture teaches. We've got scriptures about how God loves instrumentation. So thank God for our singers and our musicians. We are so blessed. And I just see waves of glory coming that God's going to bring forth through the worship. Even more than we've ever experienced. And that Shabbat, again, a bold, unified declaration of victory. Boldness in our worship. I encourage you in our worship, if you want to let out a shout, let her out. Hey, even while I'm preaching, if you want to amen, hallelujah, go get them, stick them, preacher, whatever you want to say, It won't hurt me, and probably won't hurt most preachers' feelings. But this is about having a little bit more freedom. If you get out of line, we got some big guys that'll fix you. But listen, we got pretty wide boundaries here. We want to go for it. It's in the book. Let's do it. Father's looking for people that will worship Him according to the way the Scripture says. Unleash every instrument and voice. And I remember in our early Grace House days, we didn't have a worship pastor in those days, or we had volunteer worship leaders, and they'd doing a great job. But one morning I was sitting at my computer, and I was just studying, I was praying. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, and I was just sitting there typing a prophetic word. I printed it off. I got it. I got in my vehicle, and I went to the job site where Andrew was working, and he was helping build a house. He was up in a big backhoe bucket. They were working on the soffit of the house. And I asked the foreman, hey, I've got a prophetic word I need to share with my son up there, and I'm supposed to do it right now. He shut everything down, said, go for it. And I released a prophetic word. This was before Andrew was our worship pastor or anything. But the Lord gave me such a strong word that there would be times when he would release sounds on his guitar that would just shift atmospheres. And it went on from there. And, of course, within the next year, we actually brought him on as our worship pastor. And then the Lord just is building, through the years, built our team. And so I'm grateful for that. A lot of people come here because of the worship. And I love our team. I'm bragging on you, but we love you. I love your hearts. I love that it's to you guys and are you men and ladies, that it's about Jesus to you. And that makes all the difference in this world and the one to come. So unleash every instrument and voice. Number three, turn up the joy with bold freedom. That's something else we want to do if we're going to have, we want to cultivate an atmosphere where there's these glory outbreaks, where people get healed, where people get a word, where people get encouraged, where marriages get reconciled, where bitterness is left at this altar and people go out with peace, where chains are broken and addictions are broken and pornography's broken and drug addiction's broken and alcoholism is broken. All the different things that bind people, get people bound up, that even in worship, things can just explode and happen. Notice the halal is where we get the word hallelujah, which simply means praise the Lord, praise Yah, praise Jehovah. It means, I remember hearing Ray teach on this, being clamorously foolish, full of joy, unashamed, energetic celebration that forgets self and highlights the Lord. I love that. And another one, Jehovah Nissi, that's one of the compound divine names of God, that He, our Lord is our banner. He is our victor. And so we may have flags. We may have banners lifting up His banner as a symbol of victory. We have flags. And you may see people, and I love, our people that do flags. They're not up here trying to get in front of the cameras where people can't see, but they're taking those flags, and they're being sensitive to what's happening in the songs. If we're singing about the blood of Jesus, you'll often see them get red flags. They're declaring the victory we have through the blood of Jesus. If it's something prophetic, they may get a blue flag. Revelation is flowing. If it's about growing in our Christ-likeness, they may get a green flag because we're growing in Christ. And see, there's the colors themselves even can reflect a truth that's happening in the room. And then the dancing, you can see the scripture, let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him with the timbrel and harp. There's the command to praise the Lord with the dance. Well, I just don't believe in that dancing in church. Well, whose church was it now? Because this is what He says. I want you to praise Me in the dance. So in the altar, you'll see people praising. And Megan, I love the grace that God has given you to lead us with the dance up here on Sunday. because she is so sensitive to where we are in our worship. I've noticed that. You know, when it's intense, she may be running back and forth, and she's got those streaming colors following her. When it slows down, I love the way that you're sensitive to what's happening in the room. And to me, that's always evidence, Holy Spirit, because he'll lead us like a school of fish or a flock of birds will move together. It's like no one's really calling attention to themselves. It's just the movement, the rhythms of God's Spirit in the midst of the worship of his people. So turn up joy with bold freedom. Well, I'm just not an outspoken, bold person. Dial her up, brother. Dial her up, sister. There's times to let it out. Listen, in those times when we all just need to release a shout, you can release yours. Nobody even knows you've released yours because they're releasing theirs. We're not here to be seen by one another. So let's not be afraid of one another. So let's have more freedom and be more uninhibited. I love it when the altar fills up with worshipers. That affects the atmosphere, I believe, because it's like, you know what? I'm going to make my body go up here, and we're going to get in line, and I'm going to worship the Lord. And there's just an energy that happens in the room when we get in unity and we're praising the Lord in freedom. I love it. The last thing is release the sound with faith in the word. That word tadal means giving thanks in advance, like raising your hands and voices in faith before seeing the outcome. There may be sometimes you come, it's like your faith level's been real low, and I mean you're just fighting everything just to get here, but in your spirit person you raise up. And like, God, I thank you. I can't see a way out of the mess I'm in, but you're the God who can make a way when there seems to be no way. Oh, God, I can't bear this burden. I don't know if I can carry it any longer, but your word says I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. And you lift up your hands and you go ahead and thank God before the answer comes. Man, you get a room full of people that's doing that. Woo! Things are going to start to break. Things are going to start to move. And that word tequila. Now, Brother Ray, he reminds us it's not tequila. It's tequila. Tequila is a different kind of spirit. We're talking about tequila. And that's talking about the spontaneous spirit song, the song of high adoration that God inhabits. Psalm 23:2-3 there at the bottom. But you are holy, enthroned in the tequila of Israel. So this would be like when our worship team's singing and one of the singers just spontaneously begins to sing a verse that's coming to them that they didn't prepare for. Or when they get into a sound and just start supplying the lyrics and the sounds all being created in the moment because the Holy Spirit is moving on the musicians and the singers. That's God creating something and releasing a sound. And I believe in the days ahead we're going to see lots of songs that are written and authored and released through our worship team and through our people. Because there's going to be a new level of creativity coming on this house as we take bold steps of faith to do what we need to do. So release the sound with faith in God's Word. Faith in God's Word. A couple of Februarys ago, we had one of the services where God did invade the room. Just the glory came. Through the years, that has happened at different times. Love it when it happens. We'd love for it to happen all the time. But we don't interpret what I'm saying today that we can make this happen. I am not saying that. What I am saying is we can posture our hearts and do what the Scripture says, and now we're eliminating those things that can hinder it from happening. And we got our focus on Jesus, and as Ben read, when he is lifted up, all men will be drawn to him. So that's what we're after here in hosting the presence of God and cultivating an atmosphere where the Holy Spirit can move, that when people come here, they encounter God's presence. I don't know the times. There's been a number of them when people have told me, first time I came, I left, and I said, I'm never coming back. Never been around something like that before. But then they said, but I couldn't get away from it because there was so much love, and I just grew in my understanding that was God. And they end up coming back and back. Well, some of you are here now. But that's when we're being challenged by the Lord to raise the bar, to step up to the plate, to say yes to what He's calling us to do. And I'm telling you, He's calling us as a house of worship. He wants to have a well of worship where the sound's being released that's going to start breaking things off people in the room, and it's going to grow so intense that it's going to move out into the streets. And the next thing you know, people are wanting to be here because they are encountering the presence of God. And we want to be mindful of your time. We really do. But listen, if there's like a sovereign move of God and that stuff starts happening, you can go home if you want to, but I'm staying. And I won't even be mad at you if you need to leave. I'm just saying we want to place our highest value on hosting God's presence. And if we do that, He will be enthroned in the midst of that praise. And His glory will increase. And when you step into the glory of God, whatever's in that glory gets transformed. And I've seen that happen. I've seen just like that service a couple of Februarys ago when I'm sharing a testimony about something that happened in my life and a brother God used to help me. Didn't know it, looked back there, and he's sitting back there. When I saw him, I lost it. I'm down on my face, weeping uncontrollably. I can't even talk. I'm just weeping. Pastor Doc has to come up and kind of take over the service. While all that's happening, Susan was sitting down there by where Gary is right now, and her testimony is the Spirit of God. She didn't know what was happening at the moment. She thought she was having a heart attack. Said it's like a hot rod was plummeted through my chest, and I thought I was dying because she had congestive heart failure. She had been to UAB Hospital 4 times the year before. They were telling her they were going to put her on a heart transplant, and she thought, I'm dying right here in the worship service. But then she began to realize, no, it was God moving on her. She ended up coming up and getting prayer, and she's got a church background that didn't believe in any of this stuff. Pastor Doc prayed for her. She started speaking in tongues. We believe that too, by the way. And then she goes back to UAB Hospital for 6 hours of tests on the Thursday after that Sunday, going to see if they were going to put her on the heart transplant list. They do all the tests. The doctor comes into the room and says, you may need to sit down while we tell you this. She thought, oh, no. They're going to tell me my heart's so bad, there's nothing they can do for me. She sat down. Gary, you were in the room. And the doctor told her, we've done all these tests. There is now nothing wrong with your heart. Is that what he said? Is that what he said? Is that what he said? Amen. And she gave that testimony here. We didn't make that happen. It was just a sovereign wind of God's glory that came, and that was only one of several miracles that happened in the room that day. We had a young man that had back trouble, like I think it was for 4 years. God touched him, and the last time I talked to him, he still hadn't had a pain since, and he had terrible issue with his back. Now, we didn't pick out who God was going to touch. We were just worshiping. The Spirit was just moving, and just let Him do what He wanted to do. And I think that's the plan. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Worship team, would you come? I'm asking you, Grace House, today to start preparing your heart that when we come to worship, that as an individual, you're going to take it to another level. You're going to be willing for God to stretch you. And I'm not asking you to do something just because you want to do it. But really be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Really pray that God would move in the room. Let's come expecting God to do great things, because more can happen in a moment of Him moving like that. than years of our planning and preparing and all of that. We want God's presence manifesting when we come together. I am committing myself as your pastor to that. I want you to commit yourself to that. I'm going to press in. I'm going to pray. I'm going to come in faith, and I'm going to worship. And I want to tell you, the Sunday you don't feel like coming, that's when you need to be here most. You're going to get what you need if you come when you don't want to come. I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to be through. When it's football Saturday, and we're about to watch them blow up a piece of pigskin, and it's Alabama or Tennessee or Auburn or whatever, some Ohio State's people here. Yeah. We get excited. I do. I enjoy it. We don't mind shouting out. We don't mind jumping up and down. And oh, are we believing that they're going to score when they've got to score? We're believing it. We believe that that quarterback's going to come through. That's why we're believing. Listen, if we can do something that's not going to mean anything once we leave this planet, how can we not much more? The one who bore our sins on the cross, whom God has highly exalted, how can we not much more be unashamed to boldly shout and proclaim His majesty? You and I were created for this. So as the series says, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Father God, thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray your anointing would come upon our prayer team members as they make their way forward right now. I pray that those in this room that need that touch from heaven this morning through prayer, I pray that there's someone here that's hungry for more but been fearful. I pray this would be their day for breakthrough. I pray that people would be saved, baptized with the Holy Spirit, set free. Whatever you want to do, Holy Spirit, move and work in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Our worship team's going to begin. We have people here that will pray for you. Just step out from where you are and come forward if you need prayer. You want to be saved, you need healing, you need freedom, whatever your burdens may be, I invite you to come. We believe in the power of prayer. Holy Spirit, have your way.
All I need to do is worship. All I need to do is
anyone, make your way to the front.
Out loud. All I need to do is lift my head, surrender and bow down.
Are there others?
All I need to do.
I'm going to release you in just a moment. Brother Bill, Sister Mary Lou, I looked over there at you. I simply heard this. Everywhere you go, there's a wake of love behind you. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to speak that to you in front of our people. And that's so true. Love you. God bless you all for being here today. In the mighty name of Jesus, be blessed. Let's give the Lord a hand. This altar remains open.